when the others come in, they'll be able to participate because we do have a quorum present. So I would like to call this meeting of the Utilities Committee of the City of Independence Council to order, and the clerk will call the roll of members present.
Tracus?
Present.
Vavrka?
Here.
Very good. So we do have a quorum present. We want to thank everybody for joining us today. On today's agenda is Ordinance 2020-19, and we have a presentation from some really talented guests, Mary and her team with the County Planning Commission. And at this time, if it's okay, Mary, I'll just kind of turn it over to you, if you wouldn't mind introducing some of your experts, and then opine as you will, and we'd be happy to hear anything and everything you have to say about tree canopies, the county study process. So this ordinance has been pending for several months, and the council and Mayor Kurtz asked for more information about just the concept of why you would want to, what is a tree canopy, why you would want to increase it, if you do. We do, and we have some legislation on that topic, which you could either opine about or not, depending on your, you know, what you'd like to do. But certainly to educate us as to what these efforts are. And I know that Holden Arboretum just sent out an email talking about this importance as well here. So if it's okay with the committee, we'll turn it over to Mary, and we welcome you to Independence. It's a great place to visit, even virtually.
Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to have some clarification. I see three Marys, so.
I know, I had to share those. I'm the real Mary. I'm Mary.
Will the real Mary please speak up?
I think because I shared the link that they're coming up as me, so apologies.
So that was the real Mayor Kurtz, and there's only one of those.
Oh, yes. Thank God, right?
Yeah. So thank you. Thank you for inviting us to speak with you today. We're really excited about the topic. I know there's been some emails shared back and forth, but I am Mary Serby. I am the new Executive Director of Cuyahoga County Planning Commission. And today with me, I have from our team at County Planning, Patrick Hewitt, Allison Ball, and Dan Meany. And then from our friends at Soil and Water Conservation District, we've got Jared Bartley and Jan Ripka. So we really, you know, appreciate the time. We want to discuss tree canopies and why they're important to our communities, what the data is telling us right now, and how we can best support you in your efforts to increase the tree canopy in Independence. So we'll take some turns going through slides, but I think we're going to start with Jan and Jared, and we will go through there. And we should have enough time for question and answers. If we are on a slide that you have questions about, please don't hesitate to stop. We want to make sure this is a dialogue and we get as much information across to you as we can. And we'll make sure we share these slides with you afterwards so you have them electronically.
Great. I shared my screen. Is everybody able to see
Yes.
it?
Yes.
Hi.
Okay. I will forward it on, Jan. When you want me to go to the next screen, please don't hesitate to tell me to advance.
Okay. I think Jared's kicking off, so go ahead and move it ahead. Okay. Oh, so you put our whole slide deck ahead?
I think just the beginning.
Just introduction. Okay. All right. So I think City of Independence should know us, hopefully, after all these years that we've been working with you, the Cuyahoga Soil and Water Conservation District. We've been in existence since 1949, so arguably the oldest environmental organization in the county. We have been working specifically with Independence to help you implement your public involvement and public education program, and also your erosion, sediment control, and post-construction stormwater runoff programs. And that's under the clean water mandate, the MS4 permit that you have through the Ohio EPA. Our mission is to implement programs and practices that protect and restore soil, healthy soil and water resources. And of course, we really truly believe in the benefits of trees and have been promoting and advocating for trees since even before I was on board, and that's a long time. So go ahead, next slide, Pat. Okay, so Jared's gonna pick it up from here. Benefits of trees.
Yeah,
So, I mean, obviously you guys are interested in expanding the tree canopy there. So you're aware of some of the benefits. We look at this a lot from a stormwater benefit as well, not just from the aesthetic or some of the other, you know, people usually think of, you know, cleaning the air kind of benefits. So really, trees are the original green infrastructure when it comes to stormwater management. So a lot of intercepting that rainwater, infiltrating into the ground. And just a little background on, you know, we have been involved with this and through our involvement with this city through our public education, public involvement programs under the stormwater permit, like Jan mentioned. We have been getting some educational information out into the community. Our targeted mailing every year, for instance, last year went out to 274 households in the community on proper planting and care for new trees. Through our program, we actually have 5 more brochures on tree, various stages of tree care. Patrick, if you want to advance that, you can see those. So these have been made available in different ways through the through either mailings to the community, to households in the community, or just available in City Hall for residents to pick up, those kind of things through our public, and when we have events, at events, but those obviously are been few and far between the last year or so. But so really, that's one of the keys that we have is education, educating the residents, but also communities on, you know, really the proper way to plan, select, plant, and care for these trees. Go ahead, Patrick. And like I said, the reason behind that is we really want to help manage stormwater. This is how it ties a lot into our mission, in addition to the other benefits, as we stated. It really helps, as we said, intercept, infiltrate, and store stormwater and rainwater, especially in the urban environment where we can keep it intercepted before it even hits a lot of the hard parking lot and impervious surfaces. So, go ahead, Patrick. And then just, you know, Independence does have a pretty good tree canopy in a lot of places, and so you guys are familiar with the benefits of the aesthetics. And additionally, you know, cooling, shade, lowered energy costs, and the habitat that it provides for, you know, nature, animals, especially valuable along stream corridors to help prevent erosion and things like that as well. Go ahead.
I'm going to Dan.
I'll just pause for a second on this slide to mention that we've done 2 countywide studies on tree canopy, and we're actually, they're measuring with satellite imagery and other sources on a per square foot basis for the entire county, inventoried all the different types of land cover, whether the tree canopy, grass, pavement, buildings, and so on, water, okay? And then we were able to quantify that on any kind of geography down to the parcel level, all the way up to the whole cities and the county as a whole. So as we go through this, you'll get a feel for that. And I should mention we did 2 studies, one in 2013 and one in 2019. So as a result of that, we know not just the latest status, but we know the change. Where are we losing trees? Mostly losing. Where are we holding steady? So you'll see that as we go through. Okay. So here's just some quick findings for Independence. So the existing tree canopy coverage is about 40% of the area of the city. So it's at about 22nd out of 59 communities in the county, so doing fairly well. So similar canopy percentages found in other outer ring suburbs, so it's a similar figure for Westlake, Homestead Township, Rodney Heights, Solon, and Strongsville, for example.
Would you mind
different
just
communities are just... Yep.
Yeah, would you mind just defining what goes into a tree canopy? Not everybody may be familiar with what that definition is.
Yeah, so there's some formal definition of the layer of essentially leaves that when viewed from above, leaves that are obscuring the ground. also a height minimum when the measurement's actually done, but the analysis, so that I think it has to be 8 feet tall or taller and a certain circumference. So for an individual tree, I think it has to be, I don't know, 6 feet wide, something like that. So the so it's really considered a land cover type. The other ones are just plain grass when seen from above, or pavement, buildings, and so on that I mentioned. So, does that make sense? So,
I think
anyway,
someone's got a, you had a question. Sorry, Dan. Kathleen,
yeah.
Got a question.
All right, thank you. Besides the obvious things of trees dying or trees being cut down for roads, houses, buildings, things like that, what other causes might there be of reduction in the tree canopy?
I think you hit each of them. Go ahead, Mary.
I was going to say, we had the emerald ash borer, we had the gypsy moth cause some problems, and there are just a lot of tree diseases coming down the pipe. And then also our climate is changing and we are getting warmer, and that's going to affect some of the hardier trees that really won't be able to adapt to the extra warm weather. So right now there's been a lot of studies. I think Holden Arboretum has a list that encompasses trees that they're projecting are going to do better in the forthcoming years.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So we were talking about how Independence compares to other similar communities. That next bullet is about the net loss of about 8% of the tree canopy in Independence between the two study years, again about 22nd out of all the communities. There were some interesting patterns we saw about who lost more or less. Oddly enough, communities that have a lot of tree cover often lost a large amount in some of the big forests in the metro parks and such from emerald ash borer and other things. But we also saw big losses due to development, which I'll mention in a second here. So I mentioned the gross loss, that is not including any small amounts of gain there were, but there was a loss of about 350 acres throughout Independence in total between the two study years. It was a bit less than some of the other communities around you.
Quick question. In the fact that Independence is bordered by the National Park, is that considered part of the Independence tree cover, or do you basically look at the actual area of Independence that's not National Park?
It's whatever is in Independence, so it does include a portion of the National Park, I believe, a pretty significant portion. So
thank you.
It includes all of that. Yeah. So one set of kind of man-made contributors to losses were development. And I kind of scanned around the city, and you'd be able to do this on your own in our online map that you might try. Specific areas of loss, so there were 20 acres in one area of development, residential development, another 8.5 on Brecksville Road, and we'll look at some of these in a second. So you can see, really, even those few at the end were single residence clearing that were done. So 2.5 acres for one home, and maybe chunks of land at one point. I can, to maybe make you feel better, in other areas we found losses of single areas of 40, 50 acres. So maybe not so bad. Go ahead, Patrick. A little bit more potential tree canopy, and I'll show you a graph in a second. So what area is remaining that it could be planted, more trees could be planted? And you really need to look at the grassy areas, okay? So you can't really plant the buildings. There's a theoretical converting parking lots to planting some trees in parking lots, but really got to look at the grassy area. So 34% of the land in the city is what they call grass shrub, okay? Out in the middle of the pack among all communities. So a fair, good amount of area left potentially to grow additional trees on. As somebody brought up, a good amount, 16% of the Independence land is in parks. So that's ninth among all the communities in the county. Okay, so quite a bit. That's, as I'll mention in a couple of minutes, it's both an opportunity and a limitation because it's maybe difficult to change policy in the national park and say, you ought to plant trees here. So a little about there. And it was also, as I mentioned, susceptible to larger losses, especially, Emerald Ash Borer and so on. We saw quite a bit of the parks. Okay. Here's a couple of those examples.
Dan, I have a question. Does that include all the complete boundary of the national park, or is that just the park? Because not all of the property in the park is parkland today, boundary. So is that just how you identify it as park? Because the engineer used to tell me that national park took 21% of our raw acreage. Find it different.
Yeah. We took the parcels that are, trying to think literally how we did that. It was the park boundary as the national park defines their boundary, and everything within that is the acreage that we counted.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So here's some of what you can see in the online map that we've got set up. So these reddish areas are areas where tree canopy was lost. This is that 20-acre development on Great Lakes Parkway and Great Oaks Parkway. So so just a quick example there. Next. Here's that single property that lost 2.5 acres for a nice long driveway and such. Just wanted to point out a couple of those, and if you are able to get on to the online viewer, you can pan around and see a number of these areas. So, okay, thanks. Okay, so here's a little graphic to show the components of tree canopy, and it's really the components of the land cover. So the darker green bar is the existing tree canopy, and these are percentages, so they all add up to 100%. The lighter green is grassy areas, and then the pink is impervious, mainly parking lots, and then something we call non-suitable. So those are mainly buildings that cannot be planted over. So you can see some of the difference in the pattern. So Bentleyville, top with the most tree canopy, does not have as much additional plantable area because they've got so many trees already. Other areas, we can't see the bottom of the list, but the other extreme is Northland and also a very little grassy area. So they are really hemmed in terms of their potential for increasing their tree canopy. So Independence does get a good amount of grassy area, as we mentioned earlier, especially compared to other areas. Next. And so we looked at a few areas where you might have potential for planting, especially areas that are in the city's control. So you do have this nice community complex, which I believe is parks and schools. Obviously, you wouldn't want to plant trees on top of your baseball field or your football field and such. But you know, there's quite a bit of additional areas that could be filled in a bit more, you know, some of the walking areas and such. So quite a bit of land there to work with and to consider. I mentioned limitations in other areas, sorry, in that first set there. So maybe difficult to get trees planted in the national park. Utility corridors are also a big land owner within the city, or use at least. And there are some limitations, obviously, in tree planting there. Although I think they do allow for shorter trees. I'm not sure how the policy is on that or the science. And this one is not showing up great, I guess, if you look at it. So thinking about rights of way, so this is one area that the city does control and can have direct impact. I'm not sure the graphic here shows up that well, but there's definitely a lack of tree canopy within the rights of way of, say, Rockside Road, even Brecksville Road, and this is kind of a maybe typical residential street with very little tree cover. So those tree lawns and such are certainly good targets. Next. Good thing about development sites as to whether you want to push for protection there or not. So this is the, lost myself, the former Marycrest School, I believe, on, is it on Rockside?
Brookside.
So you might be careful in considering if there's a redevelopment on that site to do your best to preserve or enhance tree cover on that open property. So, next.
Okay,
Let me briefly mention, I just want to mention, if you go back one real quick, in terms of other opportunities, one site that we did not show, and I kind of meant to, is there's a large amount of city-owned property just south of Hemlock, Hemlock Trail, I think of, above the Adite mine. Quite a bit of city-owned property there, and a good bit of it is open land. That's certainly a potential site, depending on your intentions for that property. So, I didn't mention that one. Okay, I'm done.
Thanks, Dan.
Any questions?
Yeah, I think Dale might have a question. No.
Good. Thank you.
The links to the viewer and other resources are going to be on the last slide of this presentation. So when we send it out, you'll be able to click on that and it'll take you to some of those resources that Dan mentioned. I will very briefly talk about tree canopy and landscape ordinances. Your zoning and development regulations, as Dan kind of alluded to, are a really great way of protecting and maintaining existing tree canopy when new development happens. And there are a lot of different ways that zoning and development regulations can play a role in preserving tree canopy. These are just five examples. This is from the American Planning Association. They have great resources as you are considering any zoning or ordinance changes. But some of these examples include first on-site landscaping. So of course, when new development happens, cities typically have on-site landscaping requirements. So that might be a percent of total area that must be covered by landscaping. So looking at that percent and seeing whether or not the tree canopy coverage that is required, either as a percent of total area or as a number of trees or shrubs per, for instance, dwelling unit, whether or not that number still is meeting your targets and goals. The second area that you can improve tree canopy coverage as part of your development regulations is in buffering and screening. So typically when you have two land uses adjacent to each other that are different, say a residential development adjacent to a commercial development, there will typically be requirements for buffering and screening. That's another area where you can look to see whether or not that screening is allowing trees as part of that buffer, and whether or not you can increase the number of trees that are required as part of those buffers. Street trees are another good example. Obviously, requiring street trees as part of new developments is an important way of adding tree canopy coverage as development is occurring, and making sure that that tree canopy coverage is being maintained over time. A fourth way, parking lot landscaping, and Dan mentioned this as potential impervious areas, but parking lots are a big part of our land use, especially in suburban communities. So looking at whether or not additional trees can be required when parking lots are being constructed. And this can take the place of perimeter trees, so the area around parking lots, as well as interior tree requirements. Often communities will base the number of required trees on the number of spaces or the percent of total lot area. Sometimes communities will also limit it to large parking lots. So over, say, 10 spaces, you start to get requirements for trees as part of parking lot developments. And finally, and probably one of the largest tools, is the tree preservation ordinance. These ordinances vary widely, and they can be either mandatory or encouraged. But again, there's a variety of ways of structuring these regulations, and some examples include requiring the replacement of removed trees. So if a development occurs and there needs to be the removal of trees to make way for that development, requiring that those trees are replaced somewhere else, either on-site or off-site. The payment for tree removal based on the size of a tree. So if a tree that is very large is removed versus a tree that is very small is removed, there are prices associated with those trees that a developer might have to pay in order to remove that. That can go into a tree fund that can fund the planting of trees elsewhere. Or the preservation of trees that are not necessary to development. This can take the place of conservation ordinances, for instance, making sure that if a development is occurring, the trees aren't clear cut on the entire parcel, but only those trees that are necessary to be removed are removed. So those are just a few examples of zoning and development regulations that can play a role in preserving and enhancing tree canopy coverage in a community. And I think this is back to Jan or Jared.
All right, so go ahead, Pat. You know, first I want to say congratulations to Independence. We read that 19 years in a row, Tree City USA, so that's excellent. And that sounds like you have a plan in place, and you have the Tree Commission, which when we were kind of going through to prepare for this, couldn't find any notes on the Tree Commission. I've not been looking in their great place. So certainly all of us on the call today applaud you for what you're doing related to the tree canopy and your goals. And they're ambitious for sure. And you heard about how much tree canopy was lost. And I just did a quick search on the web. And in a typical acre, depending on how far apart you plant trees or how far apart trees are placed or located, about 400 trees an acre. So figure for every acre of trees lost, that'll take about 400 trees to be replanted. And those trees, as you heard from Dan, are typically not going to be those, you know, huge trees that are 8 feet tall and have like a beautiful canopy on them. It's going to take them a while to get there. So anyway, when we developed these slides, it was just before we saw your congrats on the 19 years with the Tree City USA. So I'm just going to go over these really quick. You know, having a plan, and Alan Seward, the urban forester with the Department of Natural Resources, will always tell the arborists and foresters every year, the most important thing is to have a plan. And that plan would be looking at your tree canopy, looking at your street trees, especially in those public lands, and assessing those trees to determine which ones need to be treated, which ones need to be pruned, which ones need to be removed. And Alan always suggests that you take care of, you know, the worst case scenario first before you go to planting. And it almost seems counterintuitive, but he said if you have a plan and you're taking care and maintaining those trees that you have, you're going to get rid of the worst of them, the dead trees or diseased trees, and you're going to prune and care for those and nurture the trees that you have so that they do survive over time, and you keep that canopy intact, and then you plant the new trees. Go ahead, next slide. So this may not be the situation in Independence because you have larger lots, but certainly in places in the city of Cleveland and some other areas, the tree lawns are so tiny. So the trees that were planted are may have been the right tree at the right time, but you know, sidewalks have gotten wider because of ADA requirements, and so you can see what's happened to this poor tree. It's really doesn't have a whole lot of room to grow. So it's always important to make sure that the people you entrust with taking care of your trees, and I believe that's your service director right now, that it's the right tree at the right place. Okay, go ahead, Pat. And one of the things that we have seen, and if Independence plans to apply for the grant funds to the county's Healthy Urban Tree Canopy grant program this year, that one of the things that our agency is charged with is going out to monitor how those trees are planted. Because sadly, what happens is, and this is something we would really, really encourage the city to do, that when you bid, if you're planting street trees or right-of-way trees and you're awarding a contract, ensure that whoever that firm is that's going to be the contractor planting the trees, that they plant those trees correctly. This shows a tree that was probably bald and burlap. So think of a tree that's wrapped in burlap and it has the wire cages around it. More often than not, West Shoreway a couple of years ago, case in point, trees that were planted at taxpayer cost that died within 1 year. That's abhorrent to me, anyway. But those trees, when they're being planted, the hole has to be dug correctly. The soil amendment has to be placed in there. Those trees have to be taken out of the wire cage, taken out of the burlap, and the trees need to be spread out, splayed out, so that when they go, when it's planted, now mind you, the tree's already in shock, especially the larger they are, those trees have to be set in the ground and given the best opportunity to grow. So planting, having good planting, best management practices is really, really important. Okay, go ahead. So that's just, you could go in next. So you can just see the size, you don't want to have it too large, but you don't want to have it too small the hole, and you definitely don't want to have that tree planted below the crown. And that's where, you know, when we were kids and we drew the trees and the trees came down like that, you don't want to plant and mulch above where those roots start coming out of the tree. Okay, so this is just another example, and especially with trees when they're planted, it's going to take about 1 to 3 years, especially in urban settings, to make sure those trees are going to have a chance to grow. So they are going to require water for those first 3 years, and making sure that the mulch is there, because that mulch is going to help keep the weeds away, and it's going to help keep that ground cooler and help absorb the water and keep it around those tree roots. So that's a really important practice. Okay, next. And weeding and mulching. So like anything that we do, whether we buy a home or we have a vehicle, that there's always maintenance required. You just don't put it in and go away. And here you can see how these trees were mulched. Again, it kind of in a donut fashion, the mulch isn't coming right up to the bark of the tree. and maintaining that, going out and checking a couple years, a couple times during the year to make sure that the weeds and other debris is not growing and that mulch is placed. The mulch is going to have to be replaced periodically. Okay, next.
And you don't need to have the mulch up to the trunk insects. You need to have a space there.
Right, so here's a graphic. So we say no to volcano mulching. So you've probably seen that on commercial properties as well as people's private property. But you can see that the proper way to do it is kind of that donut fashion so that tree at the base of the tree has some ability to breathe. Okay, next slide. And here's just an example, the picture in the upper right-hand and left-hand corner. What happens, because that tree was volcano mulched over and over, it actually rotted out the tree and the tree fell over. So think about your maintenance, prepare the plan, proper planting should be there first, proper mulching, watering, pruning at the appropriate time of the year. I'm a terrible pruner, so just, you go in there, this looks bad, but there is a proper way to prune, and weeding the roots and making sure you have good soil and good mulch, and removing the debris and the dead branches and the dead trees when you need to. Okay, next. And I think if you're Tree City USA, you probably are already using good industry standards. I think Alan Seward, and every time I've heard him speak, he's talked about the value of arborists, whether they're on staff or consulting arborists. Establishing a tree commission is great. And certainly the Cuyahoga Soil and Water Conservation District is happy to come out and provide education for folks on your tree commission. I don't know who is on your tree commission, but a lot of those tree commissions do have interested people from the community there. And there's been a lot of training, tree stewards training. So there are a lot of people out there that are very, very strong advocates for trees, and they are really want to be part of good practice in the communities.
We have an arborist in our community, and I know he's come and done a presentation at our church facility to show proper pruning techniques and some other valuable things. So we do have that advantage of an individual within our own community as a starting point.
Excellent. And I just have to leave my presentation with a little plug for something, because I just sent a letter out to the mayor today. Our board just approved starting a memorial tree planting fund, and we want to work with a handful of communities. We're going to raise money, and we want to work with the communities to help plant trees in those communities where we would be doing most of the work, but we want it to be a partnership. And again, for every acre of trees that are lost, it's going to take a lot of trees. And Independence has a very ambitious goal. And if we can help you with this by partnering on that, on this program, we would be delighted to do that. So that's all that I have for right now.
Thank you, Jan. I'm going to turn it over to Allison.
Great. Thank you all. I'm Allison Baum with the County Planning Commission, and I run the Healthy Urban Tree Canopy Grant Program along with our partners at Cuyahoga Soil and Water Conservation District, the County Department of Sustainability, and the Cuyahoga County Board of Health. So, Patrick, next slide, please. So, the Cuyahoga County Healthy Urban Tree Canopy Grant got started in 2019. That was our first year of the program. The program is to increase tree canopy and help lessen the impacts of climate change. The county executive announced this right after we published the climate change action plan. So this is addressing one of the items in the climate change action plan. And the program goals are to add large-scale planting, expand tree canopy in areas that are vulnerable, establish new tree canopy, protect existing tree canopy, and establish the plans and policies that promote tree canopy. This year we talk about that's another slide. So next slide. So just to recap program year one, we funded a lot of planning projects. So there were 14 plans, that's the second bullet point, 14 plans for future planting work that identified areas to plant trees, species to plant, and small, large, and medium-sized areas for growing canopy. In addition, the program planted over 1,400 trees, and over 14,500 planting sites have been identified. And we also completed a business plan for a nonprofit tree nursery in Cuyahoga County, so you can get your new trees right here in the county. Next slide. So, and I've already been in touch with somebody this morning from your community who is working on the grant for independence, but there's two types of grants that we're funding, and it's planting grants, and planting grants will fund planting, associated activities that preserve and expand tree canopy in Cuyahoga County, such as the mulching and watering and purchasing the trees. And we're also still funding plans. If you didn't get a chance to get a good tree plan, we'll fund the activities to develop the inventories or urban forestry management plans that include potential planting sites. However, all planning grants this year must incorporate a planting component, just jumpstart your plan. And Jan Ripka says this all the time, back one slide, is that this isn't just a planting program, it's about growing canopy, not just planting trees. So you can plant them, but we have to maintain them and make sure that they grow to maturity, because you're not going to get that canopy for a couple of years, maybe 10, I think. Yeah. Next slide. So Tree City USA, is a program that Independence is already affiliated with. It's locally administered by the Ohio Division of Natural Resources, but this is a program that was started back in 1976 to help protect and expand tree canopy. So, and it is run through the Arbor Day Foundation, and the Tree City USA does provide a basic framework. So in order to become a tree city, the cities have to meet four standards, and that's to start a tree board or department or commission. And I believe that the service department serves as your tree department. The tree care ordinance is a second standard. The third is a community forestry program with an annual budget of at least $2 per capita for your population, and an Arbor Day observance and proclamation. So again, I went onto the Tree City USA sites. I was looking at the cities that have them, and there was Independence. And then you guys were written up for your 19 years of being a Tree City USA in the cleveland.com. And that article is from 2019. So congratulations.
Yeah. Can I just add two more things really quickly? And it goes back to cities' goals. In the Arbor Day newsletter that just came to me yesterday, that they highlighted the city of Spokane, Washington, and they were recognized for their tree canopy goals, but also because they have a history of supporting tree planting by providing free trees to residents. Everything that the Cleveland Tree Commission has looked at, Coalition has looked at, and even all these other cities, is that planting on public lands alone is not going to restore the canopy, that we really need to encourage private property owners to plant trees and maintain them. And especially like Allison, like we've all said, that it's going to take a while for these trees to grow and to provide that canopy coverage. So that may be something in the future that Independence wants to think about. Again, it goes back to your whole planning process and how do you do that? You know, what kind of trees would you provide? But I'm sure it could factor into the cost for maintaining that Tree City USA. So that was one thing. And I'm sorry, one more commercial. And Jared, maybe you want to talk about the NUTS program. I think you guys will like this one.
The NUTS program stands for Native Urban Tree Starters, so the acronyms, but it's a program we do with schools where we basically use acorns and other seeds or nuts that the students can collect, and they grow out a tree. They basically grow a tree in the classroom, and then they are able to either take it home and plant it or plant it in another location in the community. So just another way that we're working with schools throughout the county really to try to enhance tree canopy.
Very good. Well, that's all the information we had to share. We want to definitely have some time. I think we've got some time left for question and answers. As Patrick said, we've got a resource slide here, so when you get this deck, you'll be able to click out to that. There's a lot of great information out there, and again, I think Jan said it, you have a lofty goal, and we're here to help. And so I think we will open it up for questions, discussion.
Mary, thank you so much for your team. What an excellent presentation, and very impressive. And it's always nice to know you're getting your tax dollars worth out of all these things, right? You know, geez, you guys did a tremendous job. We can't thank you enough. I know my colleague Dale has a question. I had one quick question before I called on Councilperson Vavirka. Could you describe the difference between the types of trees that are the trees that you're looking for that would be comprehensive and appropriate for a tree canopy? So I know, you know, obviously there's ornamental trees. I don't think they do a whole heck of a lot, but you know, the city plants its own trees in tree lawns. We may be expanding that program. Mayor Kurtz has suggested that idea. What specific types and you know, of trees are we looking at to actually increase the tree canopy? And are there trees that don't do that and we should avoid?
Go ahead, Jared. You love this stuff.
Well, no, for tree canopy, and you hit it around the head a little bit. So some of the smaller ornamental trees aren't going to provide as much canopy when they're mature as a larger species might. You think, you know, an oak or a big maple or something. However, you know, going back to some of the slides Jan presented, you want to make sure you're getting the right tree in the right place. So if your tree lawn is really narrow or something, it's really not going to support a larger tree. And the other thing to consider when we're talking about the urban forest, we put a lot of emphasis on canopy and that percent cover, but you also want to make sure that it's a healthy urban forest. So you want to make sure you have a variety of different species. We obviously have a preference for native species where possible, but a lot of times arborists, especially for those street trees in tight spaces, find that some of the non-native trees are a better fit there. It really just depends on the setting and the soil conditions. It really is a site-by-site almost kind of determination. But really, from a canopy standpoint, those larger trees are going to be more bang for the buck, you know, eventually. But it's going to take decades, you know.
Understood. And just as a follow-up to that, do you have a, you know, we've got over 100 different soils, I think, in Independence. Do you have any type of a soil analysis of trees that work in soils? Any type of a resource guide that we could utilize?
We don't have anything, I think, specific where it just pulls up this tree and this soil recommend these trees. You try to find something, you know, any arborist you're working with would definitely have that information, be able to make those determinations. It's not just the soil type necessarily. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that goes into it.
Dale has a book, apparently.
There you go.
That's Councilperson Vavirka.
This was one that, this was a title that was passed on to me. It's called Trees for Urban and Suburban Landscape. And it does a very comprehensive job. I passed a basic information from that along to our city engineer a while back. We've had discussions in the past about how ineffective it tends to be to try to plant trees in the, the Devil's Strip or whatever. And one of our conversations that we've had is the idea of trying to work with property owners so the city can provide the tree, work with the property owner for the most appropriate location so it doesn't block a view or anything else, and plant an appropriate tree that could be a large substantial canopy tree on the person's property. We would plant it and mined it in the beginning, and then the property owner would then be responsible for taking care of it. And in my mind's eye, that's a perfect opportunity. I know that the engineer is, we just did a major road project down Brookside Road, and I know there's a number of trees we are responsible for replacing. So I'm pleased to hear that we can take this opportunity and follow through with some nice canopy trees. Realizing, again, we have different slopes on that part of the road, and the slope is involved. The soil type makes a difference. There are lots of things that are involved. And I'm happy that we have this potential move in the direction of getting out from under the wires and getting into areas where the trees can fully develop and develop their proper shapes and really work with the canopy, build the canopy that we need.
If you're looking for an example for that kind of program, the city of Lakewood has a front yard tree program. They have the same issue where a lot of times the the right-of-ways aren't appropriate for planting these trees, but so instead it didn't focus entirely on the front yards, but they plant them in lieu of in the tree lawn in the front yard where they have more room and more probably better soil conditions.
Anybody else have a question?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, please.
I was just wondering if our guests, if there are any resources available that are directed specifically to homeowners. They're most likely the ones that have to plant, they all want to plant one tree in their yard. So what do they plant? How do you coach them to put the right thing there that further these goals?
I can take that too. So I will offer you too that we have the series of brochures, and we splash them up there, and they're in the presentation. We can make those available for residents. There are ones on how to select a tree, basically for your property, and what to take into account for that. Some general kind of stuff. But then whoever you're buying that tree from should be able to provide you some information, as long as you're not, if you're buying from a tree farm, if you're going to Home Depot or something, they might not have the exact that same kind of information for that. But there are plenty of opportunities to be able to get trees. We have a tree sale sells where we're a lot of these kind of trees that we're hoping people will plant, native trees that will adapt to climate change. Those are available to residents as well.
Where would one go to get those?
I will find a link to them directly on our website. I believe that and I'll send that in a follow-up.
Great, thank you.
If anybody's not on the list of Iowa County Soil and Water, I helped when they put the picture of the tree up on the screen. It's 2 days ago, we got the newsletter, Ohio's Soil and Water's newsletter, and of course, pictured in that, of course, is one of the slides. So if anybody that's paying attention to this doesn't get on the land from Cuyahoga County Soil and Water, I would suggest you make that connection, because they do have lots of programs and other things that are very helpful. Now I did a commercial for you guys.
And let me add too that our outreach strategy, every year the staff is speaking to the folks at each of the cities we work with. And so if you have, let's say, an area where you'd love to see people plant more trees, we can target mail some of these brochures that we've showed you earlier, whether it's the benefits of trees, tree selection, proper care. So let us know, because we're happy to do that. That's part of the work effort that we have every year for your city.
So we could probably get some of those brochures when we replant the area along Brookside Road for people to know how to approach.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, very good. I have one question that runs a little different direction. I know that we had an area in town a few years back that was cleared, and it needed to be cleared because of the brown bat population. Is there any kind of balance to something like that? In other words, the EPA needs to protect the environment, but the trees have to be cut before the certain date related to the brown bat nesting. But yet, and that requires more clear cutting rather than selective cutting. Is anything in the works that there's a little balance there? Because it seems like we're butting heads, the trees on one side and the brown bats on the other side.
It's a new one on me.
I don't believe that. I think the timeline is there. Basically, if you're past that date, you have to do a net study and might really determine if they are present, just because of the time of year and their life cycle. I don't think that should affect, though, if it's clear cutting versus more selective, unless people are just rushing because they want to get it done. And we get a lot of those, when we're reviewing erosion sediment control plans and stormwater pollution prevention control plans, we tend, that's one of those times of year when we get a lot of those through, people trying to get them through quick because they want to get it approved in time to go out and get that cutting done before they would have to do the study. So I think just that deadline, I can see maybe makes it more, people trying to get in there, get it done, it leads to more clear cutting potentially, but it doesn't require more clear cutting.
Okay, thank you.
Another question I had along those lines, and I think what Councilperson Sinek was talking about. So the encouragement of the civilian population to try to, plant trees in their yards. And so how have you found, communities are able to encourage that? So there's a limited amount of land that the city controls, and I think we have some ideas of how we can increase the capacity there. But it really comes down to our business residents and our residents. And so I know, you said Lakewood's got a program. Are there other model programs that we could take a look at that we might be able to enhance and or replicate that you think would be worthy along these lines? Because without getting the residents involved, I think it would be difficult to try to achieve these goals.
I think so. The other programs I'm aware of are relate more to financial incentives for the residents to do something like that. And I believe this is our street tree program, but possibly also on private property. I'll have to check. City of Strongsville does a cost share basically with the residents. I believe that's actually for the street trees potentially. It might be also front lawn trees. I think the resident pays for the tree and the city plants it, kind of, or something like that. There's some agreement or benefit where the city's providing either a discount or the service actually doing the planting. I think these are larger, like the ball and burlap sized trees. And then other programs we've done and related to watershed stuff. So another opportunity is partner with the watershed organizations in your community, the potential West Creek Conservancy and some of those. In the Rocky River and in Euclid Creek, we've done somewhere we've gotten grants to basically provide trees, seedling, not big ball and burlap, but like containerized or bare root seedlings to residents in certain areas. We focus obviously on stream corridors, so residents living along stream corridors, but there are other opportunities as well. I think a lot of it ends up being tied to financial incentives when you're dealing with the residents, or really trying to build that movement, trying to really have that, almost a campaign, have that message, like whatever it is, like we're doubling our tree canopy by whatever, and here's how you can do your part, and here's why it's important. I think that could really buy into that too, especially working maybe with neighborhood groups. We've seen, like in Cleveland Heights, groups of neighbors doing like a pollinator pathway, they call it. It's pollinator partnership, where they're really tied, not to trees, but towards pollinator gardens and native plants, trying to get these whole streets where people talk to their neighbors and get them to do it, and they get these whole, pretty good participation, 70-80% participation on a given street. But it's really having somebody dedicated and out there talking to their neighbors. So.
Understood.
There are also some really good examples of, target percentages for things in your regulatory code that you could look to for, I think we talked about parking lot coverage for trees. There are good targets that the American Planning Association can provide to make sure that your code already is set up for success. Some of that also could be things like requiring a landscape plan as part of your development process, both for commercial developments, large-scale residential developments, but also when you're redoing your streets or you're working with ODOT or other transportation agencies, making sure that you're asking about trees at that point also, because that's another good time to be able to have those conversations.
Very good, thank you. Is there anything else for our guests from the County Planning Commission? And Cuyahoga Soil and Water.
Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you for the invitation. We'll follow up with the slide deck and we'll add that link that Jared posted. And if there's anything else we think of that came up during today's conversations, we'll add that in an email to the group as well. So,
Mary and team, thank you very much. And Jan and Jared, thank you for always being a great partner with the soil conservation. So we look forward to a more robust discussion, future opportunities to support us and help us navigate through some of the opportunities.
Thank you, Mayor.
It was a pleasure to hear from people and such as yourselves who truly have a passion for what you do, so thank you.
Absolutely.
Very welcome. All right, we kept right on schedule, so thank you, Jim, for setting it up, and I hope everybody enjoys the rest of your day.
We're working. Thank you. The committee still has a little bit of work to do, but okay. Thanks for our guests.
Perfect timing.
All right.
You don't have to stick around, but you're welcome to highly interesting stuff, I got to tell you. So.
All right, thank you.
All right, take care. So we do have ordinance 2020-19 that is on the agenda. And you heard, I think one of the goals of today, obviously, the members of council had, and I think the mayor had some questions about, functionality and is this needed? So we do have the ordinance that is on the agenda for today. And I was just wondering if you had specific questions about that. And I had an amendment I want to kind of make if you agreed to it. And wanted to see if you had any further discussion on that before we considered that on today's agenda. Okay. I was contemplating, so it reads right now, it says that the committing the city to double its tree canopy between the years 2020 and 2030. I wanted to make a friendly amendment to substitute from the word double to increase, and then also substitute the words 2021 for 2020, because obviously it's no longer 2020. Would that be accepted as a friendly amendment?
Yes.
Okay. What's the pleasure of the committee on the legislation?
Well, Mr. Chair, if I can back to your previous point. That was a very interesting slide that our previous guest showed with that tree canopy as a percentage of total acreage or whatever it is within your community. And, just in terms of a goal, would it be perhaps more worthy to have Independence aspire to be in the top 10 or the top 5 on that scale? That to me is measurable. I mean, they track that sort of stuff, so maybe that's a metric we could help me on that really gives us something tight to measure against. Doubling, what does that mean exactly? Who's going to measure that?
Sure.
Whatever that metric was that they were using to get us into the top tier of communities in Cuyahoga County for tree coverage.
Mr. Chairman, keep in mind that some of the communities that were in the top tier were also had a great number of acres that were absorbed by either national park or metro parks. So it's hard to compete with some of the larger communities, but there has to be some mechanism, I agree. There has to be some mechanism to chart your success. I'm just not sure what that mechanism is.
The way the legislation is written, it says that we will put together a plan to put forth for future specifics. So it's a little bit more generic. I agree, by the way, with Councilperson Siddick. I think it's Anna Mayor Kurtz. It's a good idea to have specifics in there. Do you want to leave the resolution as it is, and then come up with those specifics as deliverables as we go through implementation, or would you like to take a crack at getting more specific with it now? I could go either way, but maybe sometimes with more information we can find that out. Yeah, we're not going to be Bentleyville. It's certainly right. It's in a park, so not going to do that. But I mean, there are some things we can do. What do you think?
It doesn't seem like now is the problem. We can't really get specific right now. It's a sort of thing to be figured out. So how do you word that in the term context of this resolution, and you know, not be setting yourself off on the wrong foot? You know, something you didn't want to say, something that's completely unachievable at this stage of the game. We want more, but to be defined, what more tree canopy cover is?
Mr. Chairman, I support the concept. It's just, I'm not sure how measurable. I agree with Councilman saying tonight is not the way we're going to find some a very robust or conclusion, but something that doesn't harness us but gives us motivation.
Do we want to put in the title there that we would seek to increase our tree canopy between the years 2021 and 2030 to be in the top 10% in Cuyahoga County for the purposes? That gives us some leeway. We won't be number one.
No, again, that thing, that's top pretty... Top 10% is like we'd be the top five. That'd be worse than the other one. Yeah. One of the comments that they made was the fact that our tree canopy, we're in the middle, but it shrunk a little. So I wonder if the target might be to maintain. So in other words, we don't lose ground, and with the target also of being to potentially increase. I mean, if we simply were able to maintain the tree canopy, that means we didn't lose. If we're able to pick up a little, I mean, that's measurable because they do these studies periodically, and that gives you a pretty good idea if we've maintained or made an increase.
Well, let's think that through. If you take the entire land mass of the city of Independence, private ownership accounts for the vast majority of it. We stated earlier that the national park has a good chunk of it, so the portion of land on a percentage basis that the city of Independence owns and controls is probably a small fraction of the total land area. So I guess my question is, if the goal is to establish a measurable of how much we're going to increase the tree canopy, I'm not so sure we could do that without the private property owners' participation. And to me, that takes the initiative to a new level. It's one thing to say, hey, we're going to plant more trees on city-owned property because we could control that, but I have less control over what happens on private property. So I throw that out as a question of how we would go about trying to achieve this goal of having a greater tree canopy on property that we don't own and control.
Yeah, that's a very fair and valid point. And so the resolution does try to give us time to develop strategies as to how to do that. So we asked the question about that. They said, well, some communities give an incentive, some do an educational program. I guess the goal would be from this legislation would be to have our own specific way of doing that. And you know, we could always reset it. If we're 5 years into it and we're not making any headway, then maybe we try to do something differently along those lines. And there's no penalty, no one's going to jail if we don't do this, so that's, you know, obviously a nice part of it. But I think you can have some measurable goals, and by creating citizen, you know, participation in this, you know, I think we can get to where we want to be, and I think there's some energy behind it, and the population will be interested in doing it. We just have to give people some forums and some ideas as to how to do that. And that's part of what this says, is that we'll be developing that during the course of this 9-year process.
We came up with some kind of program where, you know, if we can get the trees inexpensively, we can either, you know, sell them to our residents at a, you know, without making any money on it, or, you know, have something in the monthly books saying, hey, on this day and May, you know, the city's going to provide residents with trees for their yards and increase, you know, some type of program for that. This way we are
initiating it with giving away, you know, some trees to our residents, which, you know, may take it off.
That's certainly one of the ways to do it, and clearly a particularly successful one in several of the communities, as they mentioned.
Well, one of the other items, though, obviously providing the tree is a big plus, but we would have to have involvement in getting the tree planted properly. I relate to her story. We spent big money at the Methodist Church in the back hiring a landscaper to put in these gorgeous arborvitaes, and they began dying. And only when I started pulling them out of the ground, found they were wrapped in their metal cages. So, you know, making sure that we provide some sort of assist when it comes to making appropriate holes. I mean, it sounds funny, but I remember Big Four Lumber down at the bottom of the hill. They always had a sign, don't put a $5 tree in a 5-cent hole. And what it simply meant was making the hole large enough, making sure that you do all the things you suggested about spreading the root ball, getting the burlap off, taking the cages off, and then appropriately staking the tree and so on. So, you know, that's part of the education that would need to go along with providing the tree. But I like the idea of providing the tree and getting it in an appropriate place and getting it off to a great start so we're not just buying trees that die.
Well, what if we try to involve Scott Marinka from the high school, who runs the land lab in the Biology Society, and I'm sure he's very versed in, you know, this subject. Maybe we can turn it into a city, you know, / school project where, you know, him and the Biology Society can plant these trees for our residents. This way it gets the schools involved.
Kathleen?
Yes, to add on to what Chris is saying, tell me about this Phantom Tree Commission.
We have a tree commission on the books, and I don't know that it's met in some years.
Like at least 20, if not more. I mean, I don't remember it from when I started working with the city in 2000. Never heard anything about it.
It's the first I've ever heard of it. It was created in 1993, I think, and as part of when we made the application for the Tree City USA product.
Because I think that could be a good vehicle to bring about some of the things in the collaboration that Chris mentioned and others have mentioned too. And we know that we have individuals in town such as Alan Klonowski, and I'm sure there's others, who have not only a knowledge base for this, but an interest, a passion. Maybe that's one of the things that we can spearhead this with. If this, I mean, I don't know enough about it to know why it didn't make a go or whatever happened to it, but the concept to me sounds good, getting people together who have an interest in something, a common interest, and then trying to forge forward, not only with the resident base, but also with the city at large, you know.
You know, because the school has that city garden next to the high school. I mean, it could all be, you know, put together. Or join together.
I think both of those are excellent suggestions and I think are very workable. And so how do you get to these goals over the course of a 10-year period? Those are the ways you get to them. I think those are terrific ideas. And we've got some time to put together the details behind it. And perhaps this can be a catalyst to have that discussion and to create some energy and enthusiasm, both with our residents, within the school district, our business community, and with city government all collaborating on towards that goal.
Another thing that I think is important to this is to maintain visibility. If we believe that this was a concept that we value and want to go forward with, and I certainly do, then I think we have to just visibility, you know, whether those vehicles are a section on our website, something in our newsletter, but not just a one-time hit thing. It's, you know, pretty repeated, and there's certainly enough topics. I mean, just today I was jotting a few things down here, and oh my gosh, the list is endless of things that were interesting to me, and I would think to other residents too, and would love to have more education about them.
What about, also, Jim, what about, like if a resident wants to, you know, donate, you know, or not, I don't want to say donate, but, support a tree, or, you know, say the city wants to plant a tree on city property, a resident would say, hey, you know,
I can pay for it, you know, you guys can plant it here, and then we put like a little, you know, plaque by the tree that, hey, this tree was, you know, donated by, you know, this family, and, you know, there, I know there's a term for it, but it's just slipping my mind right now.
That's a beautiful idea, and I think that that is something what they alluded to earlier, that there's a memorial program where you can plant a tree in memory of somebody. And so
right.
I remember when I was a little boy, my mom, my dad grew up at West 17th Street, and there was a tree in front of the house, and it was dedicated to a soldier who had lost his life in the First World War. And so we knew that guy's name and talked about him and where he was in France when he was killed, and that tree was dedicated to him, and there were plaques all over it. So Cleveland being the forest city, they had a whole program dedicated to trees in the 1920s and 30s, and the school kids were catalysts for the program. So I think all of these are, you know, we could replicate some of the things that have been successful in the past, and having that memorial program, and maybe even having little plaques or something, I think that'd be a terrific thing. The Plain Dealer did a story about that maybe 8 or 10 years ago, about some of the plaques that are still out there from the World War One memorials.
Well, it just brings back an idea, like, you know, I remember back when, you know, they built Progressive Field and the Caps facility, the arena. You know, my uncle had bought bricks that they put into concourse with our names on it, you know, and they were like $50 a brick. We got, you know, Paul Walchanowicz, Chris Walchanowicz, go Cavs on them, you know, and that's a brick that somebody, you know, thousands of people walk on when they're at an event, you know. I mean, these are, we're talking trees, it's a life, it's a, you know.
Beautiful. Yeah, absolutely. Mayor, those things sound interesting to you?
Yeah, they're all very interesting and intriguing. I'm trying to wrap my arms around showing progress, showing something that's measurable. I mean, we have a lot of different projects going on. Many of you know, we're embarking on the landscape portion of the street projects, and we're sending letters out as we speak to residents, asking them about tree replacements and actually planting on their property, rather than just trying to just segment it to just the tree lawn area, which we all know what happens when we do that. So we'll see what kind of feedback we get and participation. Our goal is to plant as many trees as reasonable. We've had requests for 0 to 20, and we're going to find some reasonable, happy medium, common ground, because we're not in the tree business, but we are also not, we're not going to try to, we're going to try and fix those properties that we modified in order to build the street or road and our sewer program. So, I'm just trying to get my arms around how we show progress. The concept is great. It's trying to define and show progress, and making sure that the financial challenge is manageable, reasonable.
Well,
so more discussion, or if someone comes up with a bullseye, I'm ready for it.
Well, I want to piggyback on Kathleen's idea. Within the last 2 weeks, I know that I've had a discussion with Al Klonowski, and Al has indicated that he has a willingness to, on behalf of the city, visit the individual houses and be assistful in working with the location for planting the tree on the property, and basically, you know, help in what might be appropriate too. So, I mean, we have that person right in town, and he's expressed that willingness. So, you know, we can latch on to that.
And we can take that under advisement. Yes. Thank you.
Great. Wow. Well, do we want to put this on the March agenda so we can kick off some of these discussions in a more formal manner?
I would move to do that.
Well, if it's on the agenda, then you're going to have the debate. I'm not sure if you can have something that you can conclude, or we can build consensus off of. I'd say it's time to move to legislation. If you're just looking for a vote, that'd be another option to move legislation. I'm just not sure that we have defined those measurables.
Yeah, I think, Mayor, what the legislation calls for is that we put together a process to do that, anticipating that would be more than just a few of us involved, that we would, you know, engage others and have some of the discussions like we've had now, and then come up with a plan that didn't necessarily have to be in legislation, but would be something that was realistic and incorporated many of the ideas and concepts discussed today, as well as understanding that there's costs associated with these, and both to residents and into the community. So it doesn't call that it has to be something specific. It's just that we would start that planning process, and perhaps by passing this, it would kick that off and put together, you know, a committee process where we can consistently be looking at that.
And is it, what would it take to impanel the tree commission? Apparently the commission exists, but there's no members. Is it who appoints the members? How do you get that going?
I'll resurrect that, and we'll have that for the council meeting, if that helps, or before then.
Can't leave this topic without giving a shout out to Superintendent Ben Hegedish. One of his favorite lines that's always stuck with me through the years is, best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago. Plant a tree is today.
Wise man, that, Ben. There is a motion on the floor to move 2020-19 to the main body. Any further discussion? Okay, will the clerk please call the roll? Oh, Councilperson Sinek?
Personally, I haven't read that ordinance, that resolution in quite some time. It'd be, I can't remember what it says, to tell you the truth. So, that's on me, but I'm happy to move it forward, but I reserve the right to, critique it a little more, because I hadn't read it before this meeting, and it's been a while since.
And anything can change in the meantime, so it's understandable.
Debbie, are you able to put that resolution in everybody's packet for Friday so we can all review it?
It's already on the website under today's meeting agenda.
Okay, I'll send it out to everybody as a refresher.
Okay.
Great. Clerk, call the roll.
Trakas?
Aye.
Vavrka?
Yes.
Sinek?
Yes.
Okay, are there further matters to come before the committee at this time? Okay, the chair hearing none, we'll ask for a motion to adjourn, and I want to thank everybody for their really excellent ideas and participation, and we'll have a lot more of these going forward.
Move to adjourn?
Second.
Thank you, members of council. Nice committee meeting, Jim. Thank you.
Thanks, Mayor. Thanks for everything.
Have a great day.
Everyone have a great day.
You want to call the roll down real quick?
Sure. Trakas?
423. Aye.
Sinek?
Yes.
Vavrka?
Yes.
Thanks, everybody. See you soon.
Good day.
Thank you.